The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
SummerSlam is in the books. We got a lot to talk about.
Don't put the beach ball away.
Don't put the beach ball away.
What's wrong with you?
No respect.
We need to stop agreeing to these bits, Allie.
Allie, get the beach ball.
Dalton, I need you to stop being a child.
Is Cesaro here?
I can play with this beach ball. Is he?
She's the French superwoman, so you stay away from, you back off, buddy. She's a scientist. Hey, it's Pro Wrestling Unscripted here on the Podzilla 1985 Network, and thank you guys for joining us once again. We got a lot to talk about tonight, including SummerSlam. It happened on Sunday. It's in the books, and if you have that particular book, please take it to the furnace, toss it in along with your copy of 1985, and, we'll call it an evening.
Bravo.
Thank you. It is 1985, right? Did I get that book right?
I think it's 1984, isn't it?
I'm all right, Googling it. Just do the intro.
I also think it's 1984 because when I looked up 1985, all I got was Bowling for Soup. It is 1984. Damn it. So close. All right, we're doing it
again. Well, I mean, go ahead and burn those CDs because that wasn't a good band. So
it really isn't. I like three songs. Anyway, also tonight, we got some bad injury news. We got some signings. We've got some Cornette news. I mentioned that specifically. So, if I triggered anyone with taste, you can
turn off now.
Please don't turn off right now. We got a lot to talk about.
Can you wait like 3 minutes and 30 seconds so we can get that 5 minute listen?
That point. And also, we're going to preview Cape Championship Wrestling. They've got Homecoming 2 this weekend, of course, near and dear to our hearts, our little homegrown promotion that we have in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, where we're from. Well, let's start off on SummerSlam. I was going to say let's talk about the injuries, but let's talk about SummerSlam first. It was on Sunday, and
it sure was, Meg.
I don't even know how to hate it properly, because if you look at it from a, did they do a good job? Of course they did. The wrestlers were fantastic. I don't think there was a bad match except for one. Just horrible match. You know which one. You know which one. Do not look at me like that.
Oh,
there it
brain,
is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to brown
that
one.
Wait, what'd you think?
I was trying to figure out if you were talking about the 6-man tag in the pre-show.
No. No, that match wasn't that bad. It was Big Show.
I was like, the Mahal Nakamura match wasn't great, but it wasn't bad.
No. Oh. It wasn't the worst match because, again, Big Show versus Big Cass was on the
card. I browned out during that.
What about Rusev?
That doesn't count.
I mean, I can't believe that match got bumped. They just didn't do it.
Asa. He went to the bathroom. Don't tell him.
No, they bumped the match.
They needed more time for Nakamura to get
to do the exact same thing on that SmackDown segment.
Yeah,
that should have happened 2 weeks ago.
Do you want to go by match by match, or do you want to just let's?
I mean, I
just
think
hit
we
on
just,
the big
just
points.
Hit the high point, the highlights/low points.
The first thing I can think of when it comes to this, and let's just get it out of the way now: title changes. One of the criticisms that I have on shows is like, man, they never change the title. You always know when the title's going to change. Not this time, because they changed every title except for the top three. Yeah, well, the top two plus a third. So every title changed hand except for the Intercontinental title, because it was not defended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the
United States Championship.
The United States Championship, AJ Styles held on to it. And then, of course, Brock Lesnar won, which was a fantastic match, by the way.
Yeah.
And Jinder Mahal won, which, by the way, was the opposite of that match.
Yeah.
Because it was not awesome. But it started off with the New Day lost to the Usos.
You could make the argument that that was the match of the weekend, including TakeOver.
It was a great match.
That match was amazing.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
And that's the match where I didn't mind the title change, even though I really loved the New Day. Obviously, we all do. By the way, I'm Shannon Young. That's Asa Gray. Allie A. Barron, Dalton Anthony. That's how excited we are.
That's what happens when you want to do a bit to open the show.
People forget to introduce the panel.
I said do the intros while we figure out the date of that, and then you're just like, no, it's 1984.
It was 1984.
Yeah. But then I said, never mind.
Anyway, so yeah, the New Day lost, but it was a great match. I can't blame that match. That match was incredible.
But in fairness, like even NXT TakeOver, two of the three titles changed hands.
That's true.
But those matches were amazing.
Pretty much the entire weekend was filled with amazing matches, except for Big Show, Big Cass, yeah, which we'll get to in a second. So then Tozawa defended the Cruiserweight title. I'm sorry, is it Cruiserweight or 205
Cruiserweight.
Live?
Cruiserweight.
Is it officially the 205 Live title?
No, I think it is just the Cruiserweight Championship.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he defended the Cruiserweight Championship that he just won on Monday against Neville.
Mm-hmm.
And Neville won.
Did you see, apparently, according to Meltzer, the reason that Neville lost the title to Tozawa was because he wanted something special to happen on 205 Live. And the only thing they could come up with was just like, oh, we'll just have Tozawa win the championship.
On Raw.
Mm-hmm. Or that's what I meant. They needed something like special to happen on Raw. And so they did. He wanted something special with the cruiserweight. So this title reign that's been building and gaining momentum and like really establishing Neville as the guy.
Yeah.
Well, let's just take a 1 week break from that.
Yeah, how frustrating is that?
The day of.
How
we'll make that decision.
Frustrating is that? They took the title off Neville, which was a stupid, stupid mistake. They put it on Tozawa, which is a good idea. Because right. Tozawa is amazing. But then they put it right back on Neville.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so he's going to feud with Tozawa. Is this going to be a Charlotte type thing? No, because then who made his debut on 205 Live? I'm just going to spoil it now. Enzo Amore, who looks to be the number one contender, I guess.
Ew.
To Neville Seidel.
Gross.
We'll talk more about that here later, but I will say this, and I mean this in all sincerity, and you might not agree with me, but I mean it completely. I think Enzo going to 205 Live is great, because the one thing that they lack on that is a true character that the crowd will get pumped for, and that's no respect
will
to them.
They?
That is the fault of the people writing it, but when you put Enzo Amore, I heard a bigger reaction for Enzo than I've ever heard on 205 Live.
See, I didn't watch the segment, so did he actually got a reaction?
He got a huge
reaction.
So it reaction.
Wasn't SummerSlam,
no.
where it was just the crickets reacted.
No, it was huge. Like, if you didn't know what apparently a piece of garbage Enzo is backstage, or what he's been through lately, you would say that's a star coming out right there. It really was.
And honestly, like, I'm fine with him moving to 205 Live. I am not fine with him moving to 205 Live and then just immediately into the championship hunt.
Nope.
Yeah, that's messed up.
Especially at the cost of Tozawa, who had momentum, and Titus O'Neil, who had momentum. This is the best thing Titus O'Neil has done since the dog bark.
Yeah.
It really is. Mm-hmm. Like, remember, what was it, a year ago? We were talking about Titus O'Neil, and I was the only one going, no, I think he's pretty good. And even I wasn't convinced because he was kind of boring. This
and
is the best thing he's done.
And then he would cut those promos that were just
atrocious.
Atrocious. It was just bad.
But they found magic with the Titus brand.
Mm-hmm.
They really did. And now they've already shot it in the foot by having Tozawa lose. And not only lose, but then moving him away from the Cruiserweight title for Enzo, which I get. Enzo's gonna draw. But it really leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that would make me feel better about it, and I know it's not gonna happen, but I think it'd be really neat, is for Apollo Crews and Tozawa to be a tag team.
I like that tag team.
And just being like, all right, you guys are going for the title now, or you guys are in the title picture for that. Like, I pulled some strings with Stephanie and Angle, and you are now in the title hunt, and it's Titus Worldwide going for the tag team championships.
And I like that. Yeah. The only thing that I don't like about it, and I still like it, but it's just that Tozawa was also one of the only other people in 205 Live that really got a reaction.
Yeah.
Mostly for the, but it works.
It works. And I mean, we say so much that they've screwed up 205 Live.
Yeah.
That like, it's getting to the point now of just being like, yeah, no, they definitely did. And there's no coming back from it at this point because they've had so many good people like Daivari, Matalik, Gallagher, Tozawa.
Kendrick.
Kendrick, yeah.
TJ Perkins.
TJ Perkins, Cedric Alexander. Like they
Tony Nese.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, like the entire division is stacked.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, there's not a bad guy on that roster.
There's not a single, but like, there's just nobody to really care about. There's really nobody to react for. Neville has done such a great job, but it's kind of eclipsed everybody else.
Yeah, Neville was so good, he made everyone else look awful.
Yeah.
Like, with the way they presented him. And I'll go out on a limit and say that basically the cruiserweights are what women were a couple years ago.
Like early or mid 2000s.
Yeah. Let's throw them in an 8-person match. Let's just treat them like they're fodder.
There was one person that you could bounce the belt back and forth off of with Neville that I would be 100% okay with. And I probably wouldn't argue at all.
Gallagher?
No.
Cedric?
No. Austin Aries, but they never gave him the belt. Mm-hmm. If I could have a 6-month long title feud where they're like trading the belt back and forth every 2 months.
Yeah.
I would be okay with it just being like, no, it makes sense because Austin Aries is that big of a star to Neville's star.
Right.
Like, and I'm not saying ill on anybody else. Like, the talent is there.
And then you
the notoriety and like the.
They just don't treat him like a big deal.
They don't treat him,
Then you, like, while the championship's kind of tied up in that feud, you then have 6 months to build everyone else in that division.
Right.
That at some point, whenever that feud does end, then, okay, look what Cedric Alexander's been doing. these last few months.
Give us a reason to care.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can't just put them out there to have, and they don't even have great matches generally. They have good matches, but they hold them back so much. They give them 6 minutes. What can eight people do in 6 minutes?
Right. And that's, and it's not like they're not having great matches because they're not great wrestlers. Because everyone in the, if you watch the Cruiserweight Classic, they're great wrestlers.
Top to bottom.
But they're just not given the opportunity to highlight it because it's like Chris Jericho talks about all the time, like, there's only so much you can do in 3 to 6 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you're only given, and then especially when you're adding in more people, I think another problem that they have, Daniel Bryan brought up on the Edge and Christian podcast, which we're going to talk to you about more in depth later, but, he's like, so you know who's doing these amazing suicide dives and like planchas and all of this stuff? The cruiserweights. But you know who else is doing those? Sami Zayn, AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
And to like the casual fan, that probably don't realize that Mustafa Ali's inverted 450 is a way like more difficult thing to pull off than when AJ Styles does a springboard 450, because it's just, that's awesome. But AJ gets promo time.
Right.
He's a former world champion. He gets main event spots.
Right.
As opposed to like these multi-man matches in 6 minutes or less. Like,
if it kind of feels like what WCW did with the cruiserweights during, especially when the NWO came along.
Yeah. But the difference is, no one in the NWO was doing what the cruiserweights were doing.
No, that's
nobody,
true.
Like, cruiserweight division.
Yeah, no one in the NWO. Like, you're not going to see Scott Hall do a rotating plancha. Like, they weren't. Like, you were watching the cruiserweights for something totally different, and not just like character work. Because the cruiserweights also had, it was a similar thing where they weren't given a whole lot of time. Like, people, it took people like Rey Mysterio and Chris Jericho to really kind of
drive home. But their matches were so different.
Yeah,
their matches were so unique compared to the rest of the card. Whereas, I mean, hell, even Roman Reigns does a dive over the top.
Yeah.
You know, so you're kind of taking away what makes them special.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you don't give them characters to back it up, no one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares. Other than Jack Gallagher and a handful of others. Like, I can't tell you a single thing about, Ali. I can't tell you anything about Daivari. I can't tell you anything about, hell, I forgot about TJ Perkins. He dabs. That's all I remember.
And
he has the best entrance in wrestling.
We didn't even realize that his name changed.
His name changed?
He's been TJP for like 3 months now.
Yup.
That's terrible. That's something we're going to touch on again someday, because I have a feeling that the cruiserweight division is not going to get better anytime soon.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the state of the cruiserweight division.
Right.
Because they're great wrestlers.
It may not get better because it's already just great.
Yeah.
Because like, and they are still able to have like 205 Live. Like, I went back and watched a couple of the old episodes, and like, there are still some amazing like matches that are given time. It goes back to that whole, their time slot kills them.
Yeah. And the crowd.
And the crowd after SmackDown. Like, yeah.
Which, by the way, crowd, don't you worry. We'll get to you in a second too.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly,
we always do.
If they just did it at Full Sail, now this will be the last thing I can say on it. If they just did it at Full Sail, they do their tapings for NXT 1 week. Next week, they do the cruiserweight tapings. And then that way they can go to Raw and that's it.
And we've said it before, have them be separate. That's put them on after SmackDown.
But I mean, like, if you want to put them in that big, like, spotlight, have it to where it's like, all right, cool. You've seen them on Raw, see them on 205 Live at 8 o'clock on Wednesdays after NXT. That gives you a 2-hour spot where you have amazing wrestling on Wednesday. And that way you don't have to add it to like Thursday or Friday.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Spread it out better.
Mm-hmm.
Or just pack it into where you don't have to watch it every day of the week.
I mean, I guess that's the dream, though. When I was a kid, if you told me that someday I would be able to watch wrestling every day, all day, I would have been like, oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah. I have to now for this show.
but now it's like, hey, we're adding another hour of programming. Oh,
and it's not even, it's less that, like, because like, I'm excited for the Mae Young Classic to start.
Yep,
me too. That's going to be an extra hour for an hour or 2 hours. I don't know how they're broadcasting it again or how they're broadcasting it. But like, 3 hour Raws turn into a chore.
Yeah.
Because despite the amount of talent that they have, they're just not given the time, like, it's not used as well as it feels like it should be.
So moving on, we can't talk about the Cruiserweights forever, unfortunately. They deserve it, but I'm trying to remember the next title change that happened. So many happened.
Natty.
Was it Naomi and Natty?
Yeah, I think that was
Go with it. Yeah. So Naomi and Natty, another title change. And at this point, I think this is the point we kind of went, that's 3 for 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. It's starting to click in our heads that they're changing the titles nonstop.
This is the exact opposite of me during every other pay-per-view, being like, a title has to change, right? Like, they're not going to go the whole night.
Stop. You were Richard. What is his name? Richard, the 80s workout guy.
Oh, Simmons.
Richard Simmons. And you're just like, stop the madness. could not think of it. I kept wanting to say Richard Dreyfuss, and I know that ain't right. So, yeah. So, Natty, and a lot of people have said this match was great, and it was good. It was really good.
It was really, really good.
Naomi is so – I don't think she's underrated because I think everyone knows she's good, but I still feel like she could be so much more because she's just good. I've thought the world of Naomi forever. Natty winning is cool, and I'm glad.
Long overdue.
Exactly. Like, if this would have happened a couple years ago, I would have been on fire. At this point, it's just kind of a, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Finally.
Finally. Carmella didn't cash in, which I thought she might have, but it's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for Naomi. I feel like she could have done more with the title, but I thought she was a good champion. It was a good match. I can't really complain about it. It just seems surprising that they would finally pull the trigger on Natalie
now. This is another title change that makes sense. And you were way more upset about all the title changes than I was. Like, I had no problem with it.
And I'm surprised by that. Like, I really am.
Well, because a lot of them made sense. Like, there are, like, I'm glad that Neville got the championship back. I'm more mad about the one on Raw. About Tozawa winning it on Raw. Like, right. That was
a wasted opportunity.
Even though it doesn't look like they're doing much more with the Uso, New Day feud. Like, the New Day doesn't need the belts. They should have the belts, like, all the time forever because they're the best thing.
They should just bring their own belts in.
Yeah.
Like
the Young Bucks.
They did for WrestleMania, the most recent WrestleMania. If you went to, like, one of the WWE shops in Florida.
Oh, yeah, they had the unicorn belts.
They had the unicorn belts, which was, like, a box of Bootios, but it was on, the strap. It was, yeah, that was pretty neat. I almost bought one, but they're expensive.
Yeah.
And, like, Natalya, I'm excited to see what she does. Like, Naomi had good matches as champion, and, like, she was treated well, like, as a fighting champion. But, like...
Not another place to go with it, though.
Well, and it's just, like, it felt like her character kind of stalled a little bit, because it was, like, are you ready to feel the glow? Okay, what else?
Yeah, we've had this.
I can feel the glow.
We've had this argument for, not argument, but we've had this discussion.
And it's
forever.
Through no fault of her own. It's
no,
just
it's
like,
the writing.
Yeah.
It's the writing. Cause again, what is she supposed to do? She does everything she can with what she's got and she does a great job of it. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Natalya. She does what she can with what she has. It's just they gave her something good this time.
Yeah.
And they literally, someone tapped out to the sharpshooter. Finally.
Mm-hmm. That was the shocking part about that.
And she pulled her in the ring and did it twice. I was like, wow. I mean, that was a dominant. No cheating that I can remember. There was no Carmella didn't distract her. It was just a straight up win.
Yep.
After that, we had just thinking of title changes. I guess would it be the next women's match? Would it be the next title?
It might have been, but
Can we talk about Corbin and Cena?
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah. Like, but that was the match that opened the show. That was what followed New Day and Usos.
So what did John Corbin? What did Baron Corbin do to piss off everybody?
Apparently on Twitter, someone was like, a fan was getting lippy, and Baron Corbin did what he does to everybody. He calls him a loser and he just craps on him. And 9 times out of 10, you know, that's what they want. That's what Kevin Owens does. Like, that's what so many people do. They use Twitter to enhance their character. Well, apparently he said, you know, you're a loser, nobody who's done nothing with your life, but he said it to a vet.
Mm.
And apparently the vet got real touchy about it. And so he kind of issued this like half-ass apology, and then
I feel like if you're a wrestling fan and you make you
go after a wrestler,
especially a bad guy, you should expect to get torn apart. Like
that's
don't
I mean,
get,
you
don't
would
get
want
sensitive
to get torn apart. Like if you're picking at a heel, you're gonna expect them to talk back.
Yeah, it's like when you go to the comedy clubs and you heckle the comedian. Expect to get torn apart. That's
except
kind of
don't
what
do that because
well, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
It's like going to CCW and like yelling stuff at Billy.
He's gonna get in your face.
Yeah, and that's to be expected. It's like those early shows when we would get in Brandon's face,
right?
And Brandon would just like that was
he would touch me.
But those shows are meant to be interactive, whereas like comedy, it's like no, they have the microphone. Everybody in the audience, shut up.
But on Twitter, especially, like, don't go on Twitter and talk smack, and then when he talks smack back, go, well, that's not right. I'm a veteran. Cool. Like, I respect everything that you have done for the United States, but like, that doesn't, I mean, sure, he said you didn't do anything with your life, but I'm sure he didn't know.
Yeah,
it's
I don't
not
think,
like Baron
I think it's
Corbin
one of the,
knows who you are.
I don't think he's going through, I mean, well, I say that he doesn't like go through people's profiles to like, get it to before he doesn't like, you know, search out like, oh, I'm going after this guy. Except he's done that before.
Like, I mean, like, okay, so say if an overweight person said, you suck, you're whatever, and he says, shut up, fat boy. And then they get offended for that. Like,
he's done something just like that, except instead of shut up, fat boy, he said something about like, if you, you know, maybe if you hit, cause someone made fun of his physique, and he's like, well, maybe if you hit the gym, you wouldn't look like this. And it was just his picture. It was just like the guy's profile picture.
Clapback.
Again, if you're going after him, you should expect it. Right. And I don't think Baron Corbin deserves what he's getting.
And like, and Corbin will, is, he's like, yeah, people are saying that they know about, you know, what's going on, and, you know, they have no idea what they're talking about, which is kind of the go-to statement.
The political statement.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's all complete speculation that that's what happened, but
whatever it is that
he
did.
But the fact that, so Cena costs him his cash in. He goes from Mr. Money in the Bank to Cena literally takes time to go out and joke with JBL.
Puts his hat on.
Just the dueling, like, let's go Cena Chucks. Yeah. That's right. That's what it's Cena Chuck.
He's a chucker.
Him looking at Corbin and saying, like, nothing about this is about you. Just like, whoo, that's.
He said he looked shook too.
Yeah.
This was the John Cena shit show.
Like, and I was,
is what it was.
And honestly, like, I was like, oh wow, this is rough. Like, he loses the 1AA. Like, okay, then, you know, maybe there's something to, cause I, last week, if you go back and listen to last week's episode, I was like, oh no, like, Corbin is totally salvageable here. If he just, like, destroys Cena, like, even just gets himself disqualified, takes him out.
Yep.
And then, like, even after watching SummerSlam, I was like, you know what? Like, if that's what then, so, like, he loses this thing, Cena's just toying with him and still beats him. Okay, now is when, like, Corbin jumps in the parking lot, not even on SmackDown. He goes straight to Raw.
Yep, and instead Corbin goes on SmackDown and begs for
a U.S. championship match to three different people.
Yeah, they have neutered Baron Corbin, and maybe he is still salvageable because I'm sure they could reboot him at some point. But right now, clearly he pissed in someone's cereal.
Yeah,
because no one gets treated that poorly that quickly after building him up for so long.
Sandow.
I don't think Sandow was ever really built up that way though.
I mean, whenever he had the Money in the Bank.
I mean, the only reason I would say he wasn't was right.
He beat Cody.
Yeah,
he wasn't as big as Corbin.
That's true. Yeah,
like, Corbin had that big tough guy look that we know Vince McMahon likes,
mm-hmm.
and he just seemed to be like a pet project that WWE loves.
They gave him that new music.
Yes.
Which I still, like, they released it on the YouTube, on the WWE Music YouTube channel.
I can't get behind it.
And it's like, I would be so much more on board because it opens with that Gregorian chanting, which is just kind of creepy and menacing.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. But, like, listening to the rest of it, I'm just like, I was waiting for that chanting to come back. But it never does. And it's like, it felt like
so
there
was. It's
just
parts. The open?
Yeah, it's only in the open.
He was waiting for his heat to come back, and it never did. He is frozen right now. Yeah. He got sub-zeroed. Hellboy, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a fan of Hellboy?
We'll talk about it.
We're going to tune in on Sunday.
I'll nerd up. All right, so that match sucked. Like, it wasn't a bad match, but, like, you could tell that Corbin's in the doghouse,
mm-hmm.
and that's really unfortunate, because I've never been a big Corbin fan. But
what other TV show are you going to watch that the main actor, like, ticks off the director, and the director decides, you know what? I'm going to screw the story, screw the fans' enjoyment of this thing.
I got an answer.
I'm going to take, you know, just this opportunity to make you look silly at the expense of my own product. Shannon. Yes.
Two and a Half Men. Charlie Sheen.
Did they?
Yeah. When he pissed off Chuck Lorre, not only did they fire him, but then they said he died in the most embarrassing way.
So
they replaced him with Ashton Kutcher.
But they did a one-off joke.
But they still, they changed the complete dynamic of the show just because he got pissed at him.
Yeah, but they also fired him.
They did fire him. Yeah, they didn't fire Corbin.
That would be like if they totally rewrote the show and they're like, oh, Charlie Sheen's character found a new, his calling in life is that he wanted to be a rodeo clown. And he only wears that getup on TV all, like, at home. Like,
I'd watch that show.
That sounds like a community bit. Yeah. Jesus, that sounds like a community bit.
Dan Harmon might do that.
Yeah.
It's almost as bad as if they knew a guy had a fear of heights and put him in like a shark cage just to embarrass him. And
then made him jump out of it.
Hey, let's talk about this match. Let's talk about probably the most underrated match of the weekend. Big Show versus Big Cass.
Do you mean just because it was lowest? It was rated the lowest?
It was the most underrated. It was rated under every other match except for Orton versus Rusev.
And I almost feel bad. Like, I kind of feel bad because, like, Enzo came out to, like, the worst reaction I think he's gotten on the main roster.
Yeah.
Like Cape Girardeau house show before they debuted on the main roster levels of reaction.
Selfed.
And cut the promo that finally ended. He gets in the cage. I honestly didn't hate this match. Like, it wasn't as good as it was, but the story they told with Big Show's hand, yeah, it was kind of goofy. Like, okay, he can't hit as hard, the left-handed choke slam is weaker.
Right-handed
choke slam.
I know. But, I can't suspend my belief.
But the way that Cass went after the hand, like, it wasn't bad. It's just like, this, them breaking up Enzo and Cass has done nothing but highlight the worst of both of them.
Yes.
And like, yeah, I've been vocal about like, I'm kind of, I was over them as a team. I'm over Enzo. I've never been like as big on Cass as a lot of people, but like, the tag team dynamic is what they thrived in.
It's what made them.
Yeah.
One big tough guy that backs up all the loud
the smack
mouth
talk
of them.
That,
yeah.
Yeah.
Allie, you were the biggest Enzo and Cass fan. You had the shirt.
I mean, so did Dalton.
We had the same shirt.
Yeah, but yours is better. How do you feel about where they are now? And what did you think about that match?
I mean, the match to me was not as interesting as some other ones. The fact that Enzo got out of the cage was probably the most interesting part of it.
Also the most unimportant part.
Yeah, but I think if they really wanted to push Cass, they shouldn't have made it kind of jokey like they did with Big Show's hand. Like, they didn't show him going after the hand to me in a vicious way, because I don't know if it was just because it was Big Show. And they did the whole, it's the left hand. It's not as strong as the right hand.
He hit him with the punch, but he didn't get all of it because his hands hurt.
Yeah.
It just
because that changes it. The hand actually weighs less when it's in pain. That's a scientific fact.
You're trying to protect the hand. He's not going to hit as hard as he normally would.
That match was...
William Regal could have sold me
they
that.
They also kept him... They didn't just move on from the feud with Enzo. And Enzo makes things goofy. Like...
Oh yeah, him stripping down to the 100 boxers and like
oiling himself up to get out of the cage. Which, by the way, then he got out of the cage, and I said it was inconsequential because he gets out of the cage
after like 4 minutes.
After 4 minutes, he oils himself up, literally gets out of the cage, and you would think, okay, here's the point of the match. Enzo's up there. He found a way to get out. He's gonna screw Cass over to help Big Show win. No, Cass just sees it, hits him in the face one time, uh-huh.
Like gestures for him to drop. Which that's believable, and honestly, like I don't mind that. Like for once. Cass didn't, like, they didn't make the heel look like a total idiot.
Right.
Like, they didn't have
him
pretend.
No, they said they made Enzo look like a total idiot,
like,
again.
But Enzo's the good guy, so that's kind of new. I don't know. It was...
He drops down. He gets booted. And not only does Higgy, but I'm sorry, Allie. Not only does he get booted, I just want to say, then you think, okay, now the point of the match might be Big Show has an opportunity. He was distracted. Mm-hmm. No, because then Cass just boots him twice and beats him.
Yeah.
Why? You
honestly,
waste my time.
Like,
what do?
If they were planning on really pushing Cass, good. That makes him look smart. It makes him look smart. It makes him look capable.
Supremely dominant.
Like,
supremely
and that's
dominant.
A great call. Like, and that's so, you know, I'm not as mad about that as I think you are. But let's jump to another story that we're going to talk about because they have that could have been the end of the Enzo Cass story.
It should have been.
But then they announce, okay, there's going to be a Brooklyn Street fight on next night on Raw. Cass tears his ACL in the middle of the match.
Which, by the way, I want to mention, Enzo comes out with the cart full of weapons. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, he's got the high ground, literally Anakin, and he's going to come down with these weapons and do some damage. And instead, what happens? Cass just beats the crap out of him again.
And this is what really bugs me about him feuding with Neville, is Enzo's a terrible wrestler. His character is that of a terrible wrestler.
Yeah.
Like, he's scrappy. But mm-hmm.
he's the little chicken from Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
He's the little chicken hawk.
Mm-hmm.
That's him. And Cass was Foghorn Leghorn. And now they're nothing.
Yeah.
Except I think he tried to eat him. what were you going to say?
The moment of that Brooklyn Street fight where Enzo just started throwing things at Cass and Cass was just batting him away and like stuff almost went into the crowd. It's like, oh, you guys got to be careful with that.
And they did him no favors on commentary during that when they were just tearing Enzo down and pointing out what an awful wrestler he is and just not believable. The best thing they said about him was Booker T said, you know, he's a nice guy. Enzo's a great guy. My neighbor's a great guy. Doesn't mean he should be wrestling.
Yeah.
Okay. I get it. You don't like Enzo. You love Cass. But then what happened?
Yeah. And then Cass goes over the top rope, lands just
nastily. Wrong,
tears his ACL. He tries to continue the match. Which, good on him. Like,
I have a bone to pick with this here in a second.
Because I would have been like, nope, call the ambulance.
I'm done. Because I mean, and the reason, the thing that made me realize that he was legitimately hurt was because if you watch his reaction to tearing his ACL, which again, I would have been crying. Like, the fact that he didn't do that was amazing. But if you watch him, like, just his pure frustration, this is why I like Big Cass, because he genuinely does care about wrestling, is like, his reaction to tearing his ACL was the exact same reaction when Enzo was hurt. Like, yeah, no, he cared that Enzo got concussed against the Budvillains. But like, he like hit the mat. He was like, are you kidding me?
And he's not
me?
That good of an actor.
That's what I was about to say. He's not good enough an actor to fake being so hurt.
Yeah. He was like, he's legitimately upset that he, like, any time that he gets a little bit of momentum, an injury either being Enzo, cause this is like the third time an injury is kind of stunted where he should be going.
Yeah.
Twice with Enzo, once with him now.
Mm-hmm. So my bone to pick. There was somebody online, I don't know who it was, some dude on like 411 Mania, where I go and check news, who said, yeah, Triple H finished his match when he got hurt. You couldn't even do that. You don't belong in wrestling.
Yeah.
F you.
Could you, like, let's see how you do.
Yeah.
Whenever you run out of chicken fingers.
You are a piece of garbage. Like, when people criticize these athletes for, oh, you got hurt, but you couldn't finish the match.
There's a difference between, there's a massive difference between, I couldn't finish this match because the tendon that holds my leg together that lets me put weight on that leg is gone now.
Yeah.
And like, the original Sin Cara.
I hurt my finger.
Broke his finger.
He didn't even break the finger.
He dislocated.
It might have been dislocated. And then it's like, okay, that maybe
you can finish a match
for what your job is. Like, maybe
that
would take me out for like 3 weeks.
Right.
Like if I jammed a finger wrong. Yeah. Like
if I stubbed my toe on the other wrestler, I'd be out for a month.
Yeah.
I'd want workers' comp. But
to
criticize Cass for tearing,
also like tearing your ACL. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, because whenever Triple H tore his quad either time, mm-hmm. he had an injury where he should not be able to stand up.
Right.
And I, like, Triple H is a big man. Triple H isn't 6'11".
Right.
Like, there's a lot
7 foot. You can't teach that.
All right, whatever. But, like, just the science of it, of the fact that he was able to hit the ropes and almost get the elbow off with not having an ACL anymore, that's pretty freaking impressive.
And that's the part that got me, is when he went for the elbow and then just dropped down. That's when I went, okay.
Also, let's be really happy that in 2017 that he doesn't have to finish a match, because wrestlers aren't that – well, I mean, they might still be that headstrong. But WWE had the forethought enough being like, we're not going to let one of our people get injured anymore.
Yeah, there's no point to it.
Because, like, once you already injure yourself, like, you can't tear your ACL again after you tore it right before.
But you can make it a lot worse.
But you can tear your MCL. You could completely dislocate your knee out of place, which is, like, another couple months on top of the maybe 9. Like, the fact that WWE called the match off is a testament to how much they actually, like, not saying they didn't care about Triple H, but, like, they're taking care of their people more.
Yeah.
Oh, damn them for that.
Yeah, damn them for not wanting to ruin his career so he could finish his match against Enzo.
It's the same thing with the Samoa Joe in NXT. Yeah. When he got that cut under his eye.
Let him bleed, whatever it was.
No,
let him bleed, yeah.
Enzo, pretty much lucked in to a victory. I don't want to say lucked, because it's no one's luck.
Mm-hmm.
But he got the nod. Now he goes to 205 Live with a victory over Cass, which they're doing the best with what they've got.
Right, and honestly, and like, no one wants to see an injury. No one wants to see this happen. And it's very, and like, honestly, it's kind of very similar to Asuka breaking her collarbone during that match against Ember Moon at TakeOver.
Yes.
But hers is, she is only projected to be out like 6 to 8 weeks.
Which they could not even take the title off of her, honestly.
Easily, yeah.
Yeah.
But if they do, like one, I don't want that streak to end ever, but like at this point, but if they do, like, okay, Asuka never lost the championship.
That streak is eternal now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Curtis Axel when he didn't get eliminated from the Rumble. He's still in that Rumble.
Axelmania.
Axelmania is wild, brother.
But so, like, the timing may end up benefiting him.
Yeah.
Because it's, okay, finally, like, even if they were, I'm sure they were planning on moving Enzo to 205 Live. You're breaking away from Enzo. When you come back, you have a chance to come back fresh. Like, you know, ready, like, let people miss you. Because people were very, like, this is, even this feud, like, people were already kind of wearing on Enzo and Cass's shtick.
Yeah.
But now, okay, take him off TV, let people miss you, come back like a house on fire.
And Enzo got a break too, because now he can go to 205 and brag.
And still do, and like,
instead of being trounced repeatedly.
And still do his thing. Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's looking at it on the bright side, but I mean, this is still devastating for him. That's 9 months. Being generous.
That just sucks in general.
Yeah.
No one wanted to see that. Like, even if you don't like him, you don't want to see that.
Yeah.
We gotta get back to SummerSlam here, because we're at 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Yeah. So.
Raw tag team titles changed, which, that's one that I wasn't super happy with, because I love.
See, a lot of Sheamus people said that was a better match than New Day. What I read online said that match was superior.
I don't agree with that, but that's just me.
It's an opinion.
And also, like, I get putting it on the Shield guys, Ambrose and Rollins. Like, cause it's not like they just threw two random superstars together and then like, oh, hey, it turns out you can actually be a formidable team like Sheamus and Cesaro. This is, you know, they had history.
This is the Shield, man.
I genuinely loved that. I know you didn't like it, Dalton, but like the buildup of them not trusting each other, I loved that. Like, I thought that was probably some of the best storytelling WWE has done in a long time.
It felt like they were real family.
They could always bring that back.
Yeah.
Further down the line.
They could keep going with it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's how they're going to lose the belts.
But. Yeah. I honestly thought that match was going to be Ambrose turned on Rollins.
I hope they keep it for a while.
I would like to see them.
Because the Shield, it really cements how good the Shield were that, like, put any of them together and they're still dominant.
Yeah. And they still, like, everybody still cares about them. Like, right. The fan, that still elicits a major reaction.
That fly is all over.
Yeah. This
you.
Is our crossover episode with the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast because we got this damn fly. Just.
We?
No, it's all.
It was bugging. It was bugging me the other day.
I think it's a fan. But it's a fan.
it's a pain in my ass.
But also, this is Dean Ambrose is now officially a Grand Slam champion.
Yep. Good job, Dino.
So, which is cool.
Even though he was my favorite member of the Shield, but I really hated that whole run they did with him where they just made him look like a lunatic idiot.
Yeah.
But hopefully this will be the start of something cool for him again. So yeah. I'm excited about that. Also, AJ Styles, or I'm sorry, Alexa Bliss lost the title to Sasha Banks, which you know me, I'm a huge Sasha Banks fan.
Wait, actually, I called that. Like, I called that match just so Nia Jax can get the belt.
Hate that. Hope that's not it. Cause they, it, for once, they made such a big deal out of it. Sasha finally breaks the curse. She finally does this and that.
She won a championship match at a pay-per-view, but then the next night, like, she made the point, like, yeah, congratulations, you're good at winning championships. How many times have you defended one?
She's got a point there.
Yeah. And so, and I thought that was gonna be the No Mercy match, which, can we talk about the Alexa Bliss No Mercy commercial?
Yes.
It's awesome.
The creepy cheerleader thing. Oh, I loved it. But no,
she is a national treasure.
So that
she is literally a goddess.
So that rematch is going to be this week on Raw or this coming week on Raw.
And I'll say right now, if Sasha Banks loses the title, I'll quit. I'll just quit because like the horse is dead. The horse is in ashes across there. You're just hitting ashes now. Why would you want to hit ashes?
Swinging them away.
Yeah. The match itself was fine. I don't like that Sasha won though. I don't, even though I love Sasha because it seems like Natalie. It's like now? Why now? Like, why pull the trigger now? You could have pulled the trigger 1,000 times before and it would have been better. But you choose now? Too little, too late. You're going to have to do more to prove to me now that they deserve
to be
champion.
I honestly really hope she gets a solid run. Like, even if Nia Jax is the one to take it off of her, let her eventually do that in, like, 3 months.
Yeah.
Give her
a few months.
Let her feud with Alexis again. Let her feud with Emma. Dana Brooke. Like, there are plenty of people on Raw that she can wrestle.
Which, Dana Brooke, by the way, let's just throw this in here now.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend passed away.
Unfortunately,
bodybuilder, and I forget his name. I'm looking.
His first name is Dallas.
It's Dallas. We don't have it listed, but anyway, yeah. He's a bodybuilder, apparently a great bodybuilder. Tragic accident, passed away.
Yeah, he was huge.
He was jacked.
Like, and apparently he was just getting bigger, too. Like, a lot of people apparently had him pegged as, like, future Mr. Olympia.
And that just really, really sucks because everything said he was such a cool guy.
And it's such a, like, unexpected, like, tragedy because, like, a lot of people immediately, because the internet are shitty, were, you know, oh, well, that's what happens when you do that many steroids. Like, no, he was literally, like, eating dinner and choked on his meal.
Yep.
Like, that's.
Literally said.
I can't even imagine that.
Literally, like, said, I love you, goodbye, and then hung up and died.
Well, that's not. No.
That's apparently what happened is that.
That was the story. I've read that too.
They had a phone conversation. He said, I'm making dinner. I love you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And then passed
the way
away.
You said it, I thought you meant like he called her as he was dying and said,
Jesus!
I love you. Bye. And then he died.
Holy crap. No. That's
like
awful.
Yeah. That's what I thought you meant. I was like, that absolutely didn't happen because that's not how choking works.
Let's not start that legend.
No. No. Cause he told her that she would like.
It was just a casual good night. I love you.
Like, yeah. Good night. Love you. I'm going to make dinner. And then later on that night
But speaking of shitty fans, I have to point this out too. So I think I told you guys about this and I want to tell everybody else. So Dana Brooke posts this picture of her looking at the eclipse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this either got posted right before this came out that he had passed away or, sometime in the same time frame.
Like 18 hours before the news broke, she posted like her Man Crush Monday.
Right. Well, people are replying to this and it starts off with really cool. Hey, he looks good. And then there's this whole list of, I'm so sorry about what happened. I just found out, my condolences. And then the one below is like, look as sexy as hell. Like, I like to believe that guy didn't know.
Yeah.
But if I'm looking at a girl's Instagram or whatever, and I see 10 messages, 20 messages saying, sorry for your loss, I'm not going to be like, damn.
I mean, you gotta.
You looking sexy.
You gotta hope that it's one of those things, like, they looked at the picture, they have no idea what happened. They don't read any of the other comments they just put on there. Which even that, like, maybe.
But at the same time, I still believe that that guy probably did know.
Yeah.
And was.
And even if he didn't, like, maybe don't.
Yeah.
Like, that's. What do you have to gain there? Do you think Dana Brooke's gonna see your profile picture and just be like,
that's the one.
You know what? There's something about this man.
That's what I've always said about anytime a guy posts on any girl, like celebrity especially, mm-hmm. of just like, you so sexy, wish we could hook up. What's your end game here?
Right. Well, I think we've all seen it. That's the end game right there, Shannon.
Oh, Christ. Anyway, yeah, Sasha Banks won. Good
Wayne
for her.
Wayne Gretzky says you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. is that how we're getting into bits now?
Yeah.
That's gimmick infringement.
With the BN. That's how far as I'll say. All right. And AJ Styles kept his title.
Yep.
It was a fine match.
It was probably the best match that they had. It's just, yeah.
It was overshadowed by the storyline of Shane and Kevin, which continued.
And again, it didn't end.
Right.
Mm-mm. Which thankfully it looks like this was it. Like this is.
All right, so since we're at 40 minutes, mm-hmm. I'm not even going to mention Rusev Orton other than the fact that I don't know what Rusev did to upset somebody.
Yeah.
But to lose in a few seconds to a guy who has just put in the shittiest performances this year.
Someone talked about how, like, it made sense, and that, like, Rusev's overaggression made him sloppy and careless, and Orton is that calculating.
Yeah, it only takes one.
But I still just, like, I love Rusev. He deserves so much more.
I don't think he was even
on SmackDown.
There's sometimes I feel like I'm going to see very soon Rusev signs with GFW.
Yeah.
Just because they got Lana. That's what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing well. Moving on. Mahal beat Nakamura. In
what should have been a SmackDown match. The first promo that Mahal cuts on Nakamura is on the pre-show. Because what was Mahal doing? About to lose to John Cena the go-home show. And then lost clean to Randy Orton the show before that. There was no build for this feud, and Shinsuke did what everyone did. It was every Mahal match. Singh mm-hmm. Brothers interfere.
The worst finisher ever. Yeah.
Oh, he didn't, like, he even didn't hit his finisher right, just so.
No, when Big Show couldn't do his finisher full on, it couldn't put Cass down.
Well, that's because his left hand isn't as good as his right hand.
He still used the right hand.
Well, they attacked them with their weapons.
That match was just disappointing.
But you know what? Mahal is disappointing. I said it. It's not really his fault. I know he can do good
Honestly,
work.
Honestly,
they
have
pigeonholed him into such a paint by the numbers, like heel run.
Yeah.
Terrible.
The SummerSlam match was inherently bad. Like, there was nothing really great about it. The reason that you don't like Mahal is because they legitimately screwed him for however many months he had the belt until now.
No, I was
feuding with Orton.
I was totally on board with him as. Oh, never. I thought you meant with him before that he won the championship.
Yeah, no. Like, I'm cool with him winning the belt, but the time between then and now has been Orton, except for the 2 weeks of Nakamura. They have ruined any kind of excitement you can get with Mahal because they literally had him do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And now he's doing the exact same thing again. Which, I mean, would be fine if he did the exact same thing against, like, five different people instead of two.
I think the most, not impressive, but probably the most newsworthy thing he's done since champion was cost Baron Corbin his title shot. That's it. And the crowd.
Beat him? Like,
yeah.
Defend the championship against.
Well, cost him his money in the bank. I don't know how you say it. Cheated him out of his money in the bank match or whatever.
He defended the championship against Baron Corbin.
With a roll up as John Cena. That's what I mean. Like, everyone wanted.
They cheated
Corbin out of his money in the bank title victory that the fans wanted. They were on their feet. They were like, oh my God, Corbin's going to cash in. Mm-hmm. And then Mahal just pinned him and it was over.
Yeah.
And I thought the crowd, like, gave a more reaction to that than anything he's done otherwise.
And I think that had more to do with just the moment of the Money in the Bank.
Yeah, because they knew
either of those guys.
Like, oh, he's turning the case in. This is it.
Yeah.
And then, nope. That was cool.
See ya.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the main event, because we kind of wrap up SummerSlam, it was the four-way match between the four giants. And it was
amazing.
It was everything you wanted it to be.
Like,
except for the end.
It was as good as I thought it was going to be.
Well, I mean,
although it was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Even Lesnar winning. Lesnar winning didn't upset me as much as it upset other people.
And I knew, like, I knew it was going to be great. Like, there was no way that these four guys were not going to turn. Like, the only way I was going to be disappointed is if it was
Suplex City.
If it was Roman and Braun brawl their way up the ramp, and then Lesnar just like F5's Joe one time again. That was the only, and I didn't think that was going to happen.
No, this was the Braun Strowman show.
Yes.
Braun Strowman came out looking like $1 million. And he put him through multiple tables. He flipped the table over on him. Mm-hmm. He looked like such
launched another office chair.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Also, Roman Reigns, be careful with ring steps. You can't hit somebody on the side of the head with the corner.
Oh, bludgeoned him. Yeah. Pretty bad. But Strowman looked better in this than I think any, this put him over more than I can remember anyone getting put over lately.
And they did such a good job too, cause then they followed it up on Raw.
Yeah.
So now it's Strowman versus Lesnar at No Mercy and like.
Completely believable.
And I'm at the point where it's like, well, damn, maybe this is where Lesnar drops it.
Yeah.
Cause like now this is, I mean, I hoped for Joe. Like I hoped that would be legit. And it was, that match was fun. It was quick, but it was, you know, it was good and competitive. But this is the first time that I'm kind of like thinking, yeah, he might.
Like, yeah, you think
somebody, for a one-on-one setting, because I genuinely thought he was going to lose last night.
You think somebody in UFC sent Vince a note saying like, "Hey, John Jones is
got no, cause
some steroids
I,
in him."
Because I bet he still goes.
Yeah, like I was just like, maybe somebody sent Vince a message saying like, "Hey, wait for Monday to happen. Just keep the belt on Lesnar."
I can't remember anyone ever dominating Brock Lesnar the way that Braun Strowman did. This is unique.
Yeah.
Then that's great. Mm-hmm. So if anything else, it was worth watching SummerSlam. You can fast forward through a lot, but the matches were solid. NXT TakeOver, we can't spend a lot of time on. Also incredible.
Even though it was the antithesis, because everything in that show was amazing.
Yeah.
From the Gargano Almas match was incredible as an opener.
I was surprised Almas won.
Oh, I wasn't. Like, especially because it looks like they're kind of like, now that he has his valet, like they're kind of redoubling down on
Austin
it.
Aries girl.
But the way he won, with her throwing the DIY shirt in his face, and that like
triggered him.
He shook.
Yeah.
What's her name? Like, what's her NXT
name? I don't remember.
Cause like Thea Trinidad, she is legitimately awesome.
Yeah, no, she's great. I can't remember what her name is.
It started with a V.
Yeah.
Velez, I think.
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't
know. But so that match was amazing.
Overwatching it.
The tag team match.
Oh,
I love the idea that Eric Young subbed in for Killian Dane. Even though I was like, why wouldn't you sub in for Alexander Wolf? And then that match was the Alexander Wolf show, because everyone knows, like, I feel like everyone has turned around on Authors of Pain. Like, mm-hmm. No, these guys are legitimately, like, really good.
Yeah.
Everyone knows Eric Young is a beast in the ring. Like,
yes.
He's so underrated. But so Alexander, and, you know, Killian Dane is Killian Dane. Like, he's amazing, but he could be terrible and no one would care.
Yeah.
Just by his look. This was the Alexander Wolf, like, the fact he suplexed both of them. Not at the same time, but like he
got both up.
He was made, that guy, he was made.
It was a good weekend for him.
Also, yeah. My spot of the weekend, Nikki Cross jumping from the top rope onto Authors of Pain 2, and then just him catching her, because obviously he was going to.
Right.
And then just, was it Alexander Wolf?
No, it was Dane.
Yeah, Killian Dane. Then cross bodies both of them and just being like in
through the table.
Yeah. So set up. The end of the year awards, whenever I say Nikki Cross is woman of the year and you guys try to argue, I'm gonna be like, nobody took a hit like that. She won. Like that's my woman of the year now because of it.
Zelina Vega.
Yeah, that one.
By the way. It's okay. Zelina Vega.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is a cool name. Vega's an awesome name. Mm-hmm. We know a Vega. Good guy.
Yeah.
Big fan.
And if you talk about that, you have to talk about two title changes real quick. One, Asuka did not lose the title.
Mm-hmm.
She did get injured though. We talked about that a second ago.
Yeah,
Broke
her collarbone.
Collarbone, yeah. Orbital. What's orbital?
That's this bone right here.
She broke that?
No.
She broke her collarbone. Jesus.
So easy. She's out for what? We said six to 9 weeks.
You just gotta wait for a bone to heal. That's all.
I felt really bad for Ember Moon. I really wanted her to win. I really did, but. It's fine. Asuka's also great.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I honestly don't think this hurts Ember at all.
Well, okay, the only thing that I feel hurt Ember, and I said this during the show, I hated that she hit
the
move. She hit the move that they were saying, like, oh, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Asuka kicked out. Not only did she kick out, but 20 seconds later, she was up normal. Like, she didn't even take it.
And I less so that part, but like, I like the fact that Asuka kicked out because it takes nothing away from the Eclipse, because the Eclipse has already put away every single person that she's hit it with. And, they stretchered out Billie Kay because of it. That's still a super dangerous move, but it just reinforces just how dominant Asuka is.
It does, but if Asuka becomes like Brock Lesnar, eventually it gets to a point where you're like, okay, but then who can
look at
hurt
every
her?
Match that Brock Lesnar has had as the WWE Universal Champion, and look at every match that Asuka has had as Women's Champion, and tell me that those are comparable.
Nope. Comparable in the sense that they're both built up as so dominant and tough that how do you beat them? How do you beat Asuka at this point? Who can beat Asuka?
But everyone who is, like, just about everyone who has been put in a major feud with Asuka for the championship, aside from, like, the throwaway, like,
NXT matches.
The NXT matches has been, like, you believe that she was about to lose. Like, there was that legitimate, like, oh, this could be the person to beat Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time.
I don't know. I just hated that she kicked out of it. Well, I'll never let go of
good
that.
Good news and about
agree
six
to disagree.
6 to 8 weeks, we should have the Mae Young Classic done. We can get the belt off of Asuka, and then we can all call it a day.
Nope. She just goes to the main roster without losing the championship.
Is what I assume. Like, I seriously can't imagine who
and then
could, who
and
can
then
beat
Vince looks at her, puts her in a geisha gimmick,
yeah,
and she's losing to Emma.
But, like, hear me out.
Emma?
Yeah.
Ouch.
But, like, hear me out on this whole, like, this like is how Emma. She can, like, you can justifiably get the belt off
You
her.
Have 20 seconds.
All right, cool. She is coming off of an injury already. Have whoever win the Mae Young Classic beat her in a match, and then Asuka can be like, yeah, no, it's easy to beat somebody right after they get off a 6 to 8 week layover after breaking their collarbone.
Okay, here's how I say the opposite. You instead have Asuka come back, have whoever she's feuding with next say, oh, you're hurt. You were proven that you can be hurt. I can beat you. And then have Asuka beat her anyway.
Do you think a heel is going to win the Mae Young Classic, though?
No.
There's
not many heels in there.
Anyway. I was going to say, I don't know if they're doing if they're going to do character work stuff.
I would think so after the
to some degree, I assume.
Yeah.
And then Bobby Roode lost the title to Drew McIntyre.
Great match.
Which was really cool. Mm-hmm. And it was a good match. Go back and see it. Bobby Roode made his debut on SmackDown.
We glossed over. So after the tag team match,
I was going to tie that into this.
Well, so Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, Red Dragon, comes out and just destroys
everybody.
They go after Authors of Pain. They go after Sanity, and it was awesome. I hold fast in my heart that would have been so much cooler if they hadn't both lost individually to Aleister Black in the previous weeks.
Which, by the way, the Black Atami match.
Oh, gross.
Yes.
It was great so match. Great.
That was amazing. That was amazing too. Welcome. And I love the story that they're telling with Atami now. That whole, he's legitimately mad because he was such a big deal in Japan and now he's just being overshadowed.
He can't get the respect he deserves.
He can't get the respect he deserves.
Because he got injured.
Because what if it turns out he's not as good as he thought he was?
Right.
I love that story.
Yeah. The whole little, big fish in a little pond thing.
Yeah.
And then in the main event, not only did we have the title change, but then who came back? Red Dragon, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. I thought they were going to work with Drew McIntyre because it looks like they were standing in the corner.
Yeah.
And he walked over and I was like, okay, is this the group?
That was
no, because guess who showed up? Hulk Hogan. No, it wasn't Hogan.
Better.
It was
Adam Cole, baby. I wish I could say the baby like he does. But no, my only complaint with that is how it was shot so awkwardly.
Yep. Yeah.
They kind of accidentally catch, Red Dragon in the corner. So then they focus on that. And then they cut to a weird angle where they're behind Red Dragon. Drew Galloway's over there talking to him, like kind of I will never do that. It took me so long to relearn Galloway. I called him McIntyre on the independent scene so long. No. He's Galloway in my heart.
Just call him Drew.
So Drew goes over and he's like talking at Red Dragon. No one is watching. Everyone in the crowd is turned a hard 90 degrees.
Yeah, we've
clearly
had this conversation.
Something's happened, but on the show.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I told Allie, I'm like, someone's in the crowd. She's like, what? I was like, someone's in the crowd. Look at the reaction. Something's going on.
Yeah, no one is paying attention to this.
Right.
But then Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly put the boots to, Rude gets out super quick.
Yeah.
And then they just beat down McIntyre.
And there's your new faction.
Yep.
There's your new dominance in NXT. And damn, is it a good one.
Did you see his tweet?
No.
We ruled the world. Now it's time to rule your universe. I get it. I'm on board.
It's adorable.
Skizzle. I love it.
Okay, so that was SummerSlam weekend. We don't even have time to talk about GFW, but they also had a show.
Yeah, Destination X was really good. Jim Cornette is an on-screen character for a major wrestling company.
Good news. I have no reason to watch GFW now. I didn't before. I won't now.
Hopefully he's just an on-screen character because he's entertaining. Like, no one's saying Jim Cornette's not entertaining. I just hope he has – and he got rid of Bruce Pritchard as an on-screen character, which is good. But
it's like full circle, man, because who started in TNA as the on-screen, like Jim Cornette, and now he's come back. I guess
just as long as he's kept away from, like, keep him out of the kitchen, like he's not allowed in any of the decision making.
Yes, get Vince Russo back in.
Stop it.
And let's do that. All right. Let me look through the list here. We're just going to mention things real quick because we still have talked about CCW. Shelton Benjamin made his debut on SmackDown as well.
I love that.
Which was incredible. Shelton Benjamin, the gold standard. Keep calling him that, but don't give him that stupid ass hair.
Daniel Bryan is back there with Chad Gable. Like, hey, you know, I'm sorry Jason left, but part of that deal is I got Kurt Angle to get me in touch with one of his friends. Shelton Benjamin's like, you guys are going to make a great tag team. Shelton was not thrilled at that idea. I don't want them to, I'm fine with them being a tag team because that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Gable tweeted this thing of them doing like, it was mirrored cross bodies, like off the top rope. And it was enthusiasm versus education or enthusiasm versus experience.
That's awesome.
Or enthusiasm and experience because it's the team. And I was like, that's awesome. Don't put them as a team briefly. If Benjamin does the hard turn, have it be immediate. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I did not come back to be a tag team wrestler.
First match.
Yeah.
Let them win.
And then let them wrestle each other forever.
Yeah.
Because
that will be great. That
also,
will be great.
From our pre-show, he is 6'2 and 248 pounds.
Shelton?
Yep.
Wow. Daniel. So when I saw him standing next to Daniel and,
Gable,
he looked like a just giant beast. I thought, wow, how much bigger did he get while he was gone?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's just how big he always was. Yeah.
Because it's one of those things like when they were with Angle, because Angle's such a big guy.
Yeah.
No one really can
say. And he was fighting Triple H.
Yeah.
And he was fighting other guys that were big.
And even like Charlie Haas is a Haas.
He's a Haas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally.
I get it.
So congrats to Shelton Benjamin. We're glad to see you.
I'm so excited.
So excited.
He was supposed
to
be back such a long time ago, but then he had that hamstring injury.
Now, the only thing is I hope they treat him better. I don't think they treated Rhino poorly. Mm-hmm. I don't think they've definitely treated Kurt Hawkins poorly.
Yes.
But I hope that they give Shelton not just or Mickey James.
Yeah.
They give him more of a respect and more of a chance because I think Shelton Benjamin could legit be second title holder, maybe even top title holder.
Oh, he could be world champion, believably.
Even now.
Because he's 42, but he still looks really, like, he's in amazing shape.
And 42 is young. He's 40. I mean, it's not
wrestling
for wrestling.
He has like 4 more years before, like,
tell Terry Funk that.
That's 4 years on top.
I will.
You tell Terry Funk that wrestling again at like 70,000. However old he is now. Anyway.
How many times did he retire?
This is like his 5th time.
Plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too many to count. Real quick, let's talk about beach balls.
You're a garbage person, and Cesaro did what he needed to.
WWE banned beach balls now. Even though they were actively like encouraging it on Raw with John Cena.
John Cena was encouraging the fans to be assholes
and to do the wave. I swear, and this is a promise. If I see a single beach ball at CCW or Stride or something, I will take it.
Yeah.
We will
play security.
That is so disrespectful. Someone on Reddit tried to say it's like, well, it's not the fans' fault for being bored. They have to entertain themselves somehow. Okay, but if I go to a movie and it's a bad movie, and someone is being loud and obnoxious and stupid behind me, that's not the movie's fault.
Right.
That's on the obnoxious person for being obnoxious.
Yeah.
Like,
that's not an excuse that, okay, I paid my money, I'm going to entertain myself. No, you paid money to watch this, watch it. Watch the damn show.
Go to New York and go on Broadway and pull that.
Yeah, don't come to it.
They will kick you out so fast.
Because that doesn't even make sense. It's like, so if by that logic, they assumed they would be bored. Mm-hmm. They brought a beach ball there under the assumption that they would use it.
You know what the cheaper route would be? For $9.99, you can watch it at home.
Watch it on the network. Like, you can play with your balls all you want.
It's not even on your couch. It's not even, it's like it was during it was like a boring segment or a bad match.
No. This was a great match.
It was during it was a Finn Balor match that there were beach balls present. That Raw tag title match was great.
Yeah.
Just because I liked the SmackDown title match better, like it was still a great match.
Yeah, it was
match.
A really good match.
There was no reason for the fans to have to entertain themselves.
It's just fans can be super shitty.
Yeah. And it's,
that's it.
That made me so mad.
Me too. Super disrespectful. These guys are working their ass off. This is an art that they have perfected and they're working their ass off for you.
And you can totally be critical. Like, look what we've been talking about SmackDown. It's fine to be critical of it. And honestly, like, we've talked about, like, the chance and stuff before, but, like, there's no, you don't get to be just disrespectful.
Right.
No.
Because we've been to wrestling we don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
go ahead, Dom.
But, like, we were at Money in the Bank a couple months ago. We were at the pay-per-view. And yeah, no, there was some real bad stuff that happened.
I watched a man grab the first women's Money in the Bank title.
And how many beach balls did you throw after that?
Zero.
I saw one beach ball.
Was it really?
You liar.
Coming from Allie.
That's
But we've been to wrestling we don't like. Even there are things in CCW that we haven't liked. There have been things in Stride we haven't liked. But you know what we do? We sit there respectfully and watch it because these guys are doing this for us.
Right.
You know? So have a little class. Just because you're a wrestling fan doesn't mean you need to further the stereotype that all wrestling fans are jackasses.
Yeah.
Please. All right. Moving on. We talked about Oscar. We talked about Big Cass. Nikki Bella's going to appear on Dancing with the Stars. That's all that needs to be said.
Yeah,
good
kinda,
for her.
That's kind of neat.
She is. The Bellas are doing cool things. I will say. Yeah. I've always been a Bella fan. Mm-hmm. Sue me. Lio Rush signed with WWE. That's also very cool.
Don't know sell a move like you do.
Yeah, hopefully he learns how to sell. Well, he will. I was going to say hopefully he learns how to sell. Right.
And, well, and that's
he
like,
will. This is WWE style we're talking about.
And that was also like his character.
Yeah.
Was that he? You know, the Blackheart character, but. I like Joey Ryan's.
Blackheart just sounds awesome.
I like Joey Ryan's tweet of like, wow, it's weird that like all these people that were burying him last week are congratulating him this week.
I've never had an issue with Lio Rush. I just hated that one moment.
No, yeah, that spot was just silly.
As an old school wrestling fan especially, mm-hmm. that stuff drives me nuts.
Yeah, but he's also super young, I'm pretty sure, too.
Like, he's very young. And yeah. He's your childhood crush's favorite wrestler. Apparently,
WWE put a story about that. Hunter, because all I saw in the group chat, because Hunter put that story, was just the picture. It's like, yeah, we actually talked about this in the group chat like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, like I saw it on his Instagram, and I was like, this is amazing.
But then I clicked the link, and it was just like, no, WWE.com has an actual story about how the actress who plays Topanga like bought Lio Rush's like last shirt at a PWG show.
He's 22.
Which even just in passing, the whole like PWG got mentioned on WWE.com
and Ring of Honor.
Yeah,
on NXT.
That's what some.
Oh man, on NXT they actually name dropped Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling.
It is straight up because Vince doesn't run that show.
Yep. It has to be.
Oh yeah, no.
Because I think I texted you, Dalton. I think when that happened, or maybe I just said it to Allie.
No, I think you put it in the group chat.
Did I? Yeah, but it was just like, holy shit, they just mentioned Ring of Honor and New Japan.
Yeah, I remember texting.
Look at Takeover versus WWE and just see the difference between Triple H and Vince.
How they present it, the respect they have for other companies and stuff like that. Allie, the fly is now buzzing around your head like a crown of flies.
Good.
Get rid of them.
Back to Dalton now.
Son of, anyway, what's going on?
We got a Ric Flair update and it's a good one.
Yeah, okay, he's good. Awake and communicating. It looked like, so he had a blockage removed from his, colon. Or no, it wasn't his colon.
He had a blockage removed.
He had a blockage removed, and it was causing some like substantial damage. He still has a very long road ahead. I believe he was still like in critical condition, but he's awake and talking,
We're moving the meter back towards the good.
Yeah,
which is good.
Which is fantastic.
Fantastic news. It really, really is. So we wish Ric Flair a happy and speedy recovery, of course. And then, really quick, John Jones tested positive for the steroids.
Yes! And not only did he, this isn't like one of those things like, oh, something weird happened. What he tested positive for is purely an anabolic steroid. I think I saw that the normal suspension is a minimum of 4 years, but since this is his second suspension, it could be doubled. So we may have seen the last John Bones.
John Jones is still super young, not
that he's done as much as like, because it's not confirmed. They have to retest the sample. They have a bunch of stuff. He has a due process. It was reported that he was stripped of the championship. He was not stripped of the championship yet. But the match was, I don't even think they changed the match ruling yet. Officially.
Not yet.
Because they still have to do the double. And like, so his team is all like, oh, we can't believe this happened. Like, it's clearly a mistake.
Okay, Greg.
And like, yeah.
I mean, I would hope it is. I don't even like John Jones, but like, you would assume that a guy that knows you'll be tested for things wouldn't be so stupid as to dope himself up.
No, you know what? I honestly hope that this is the end of his career. Like, I hate
John
Jones.
You're not a John Jones fan at all.
No, he's
garbage.
He
has no business stepping foot into the octagon. And if he shows up in WWE, that might be my done. Like, I will not support a company that supports him because he, already tested positive for steroids once, has already been suspended. Mm-hmm. Drug use, hit a hit and run on a pregnant woman while high on cocaine. It's making me legitimately mad.
And like, honestly, like that happened after like another car accident, like a year before.
You know what's
like,
funny?
He is a garbage human being.
What's funny is that 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, the headlines were John Jones, greatest fighter ever. Jones, best fighter ever.
And like, let me remind you, in the group chat, I said, if they just keep saying that this is the greatest redemption story, give it 2 weeks because they still have to test it.
Baby, I wasn't accusing you.
But I'm just saying, like, I knew this was going to, like, and I mean, that was kind of the running joke. It's like, you're mad that he won? Give it 2 weeks.
He's Del Rio of MMA. Yeah. Like, there's no reason he should be given this opportunity. And don't get me wrong, dude is an incredible fighter. I will never take away his talent.
Yeah.
But as a human being, it's one of those things where it's like, at what point is money more important than just decency?
Right. Yeah. And I can both, I can see WWE signing them.
And Dana White did this interview where he just couldn't believe it. Oh, he's so heartbroken. Get the out of here.
Yeah. Saying, so Ace is saying trash birds do trash things.
Yeah.
Sky's blue, water is wet.
Cornette is back.
Son of a...
And last, I didn't get to hear this, so you guys are going to have to tell me what's
real up. Real quick before that, Southpaw Season 2 happened.
Oh!
Yes, it did.
It was amazing.
I was going to get to there.
You said last thing.
Did I?
Yeah. You said last thing, and we still have to talk about CCW, so...
Well, it was Daniel Bryan. So, yeah, I must have missed that. Southpaw Season 2 was amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think it was as good as the first one.
Who's your favorite character?
Clearly it's Porkchop Jones.
No.
Allie?
I thought your favorite characters were...
Oh, Top Gun.
That's not their name.
I'm sorry.
The Danger Zone. We can't say Top Guns.
Renee Baret and Danny Bandana.
Yeah.
USA. USA. Danny Bandana and the USA.
Oh. Mine is the Butchers. That's my favorite.
Rhino in the background of that.
Dry Rub. What was it? It was Dry Rub Daryl or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Just because, Rollins is very much doing a Macho Man impression.
But,
Rhino. Rhino being amazing.
And honestly, over the top.
That's a thing that I could see in the 90s. Like, I'm surprised we didn't just get to, we're going to hang you up on the meat hooks, the championship belts behind them.
I think that was more of an 80s thing with, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
No, yeah. But, I could see that being a 90s thing.
Oh, Vu and Do.
Vu and my brother Do.
So, Rhino. Mr. Doong. I watched Rhino on a Smosh Games video because they like to do stuff with WWE and Up, Down, Down. And Rhino is my favorite person now because they did first the Don't Laugh Challenge.
Yeah, I saw.
And then they also
one.
Did the one where you take turns putting pins in a balloon and whoever makes the balloon pop loses. And does it the first one he puts in, he's like, this is so stressful. And then they go the longest and he just keeps doing, he's like, why is this so stressful? And every time he would push it in and it wouldn't pop, he would slap his legs.
The glee.
He was so excited.
I saw a gif of one of the ones where it was it was amazing that it didn't pop.
Mm-hmm.
And just the
at
so
the end
happy.
They're like, I'm pretty sure this is leaking. I'm pretty sure blue. And he's like, yeah.
And he's a politician.
Yeah.
It's why is Rhino so amazing? So I saw this on the Onion today.
The open letter to his tag team partner.
I don't know if that was actually Rhino did them or if it was just they attributed it to him. I like to believe he wrote it for them. They were just like, hey, can you write an article for us? He was like, absolutely. I'm Rhino.
I don't think it was actually Rhino, but yeah, just the fact that it was attributed to him is hilarious.
That was pretty sweet. So go out of go watch Southpaw.
I was watching it at work.
I love Michael Hayes
trying,
in that too.
I was actively shaking, trying not to laugh out loud.
Doing it with Dewey shirts.
I'm doing it with Dewey.
Mm-hmm.
Dewey. So yeah, that was great. And then that you got to see why Chet
Too Bad turned on.
Oh God, I forgot about Tex Too Bad. No, what was it? Was it Chet?
It was the Tex Too Bad. Or
it was Tex Too Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I love that. I found us a place to do some necking.
I got a girl for you.
I got a girl for you.
Chetterton.
Yeah, what broke him. The whole thing.
Just Lance Catamaran not breaking the entire time, but looking like he was about to break.
Yeah. Ten seconds for Dewey.
Him slowly, because it's a prequel to the first season.
Right.
So him just slowly devolving into the I'm so over this.
Yeah.
You only got one.
You need more than one.
What are we supposed to do with one?
Lady wrestler looks like a tiny man.
I think it's just a tiny man. I still think it's just a tiny man.
Oh, so that was great.
Really quick. What was her name?
Debbie Desperado.
That you can download her on Fire Pro Wrestling.
Well, of course. You download Chet too. I saw him on there. Yeah.
Well, I know what I'm doing tonight on Steam.
So that's the news. Now let's get to
Ian.
No,
the thing that you said was going to be last. No, because this is the most important thing, honestly, of the week. I think the Daniel Bryan was on the Edge and Christian podcast of Awesomeness.
Yes,
and holy crap. We make the joke of Daniel, fire me, WWE, Brian is his name. He went hard in I don't care. I don't care anything about this. He talks about how when guys are frustrated about their spot in the company, he just asks them when their contract is up because this is the best time to be an independent wrestler. You can make a lot of money if you go. You should go.
CCW.
That's the advice he gives.
Yes.
Yes, Luke Harper.
And
come to CCW.
He was flat out saying my brain is actually okay because Elysian just means that there's something there.
And that's what I was getting to. It's because he, this is for the very first time he goes in depth about his journey from all of the testing after his concussion. And he talks about how he's okay, so I've gone to two teams of doctors who are concussion specialists. that I didn't pick, WWE told me, okay, you have to go to Phoenix. Okay, you have to go to UCLA. Mm-hmm. And they both were like, okay, yeah, you're good. So a WWE doctor, like the doctors that WWE chose, okay, you're good. Okay, well, no, you're not. Okay, go to this team of doctors. Okay, you're good. Okay, go to this experimental team of doctors. And they're the ones who said you have a lesion on your brain. And he was like, okay, that's it. I'll do my retirement speech. But then it, like, whenever, the big story broke, like one of the other doctors that he went to was like, hey, what happened? You were good to go. What's going on? He's like, oh, they found a lesion. So, like, a lesion does not mean like a cut or like an open wound on the brain. That just means, there's something kind of there and we don't know what it is. So we're calling it a lesion. And the reason that they gave for this is because when they tested his reflexes, like through this weird, very specific thing.
This is actually kind of funny.
They were below what they expected it to be, which, okay, you can't wrestle. But it turns out they were testing for like prime NFL MMA fighter athletes. And he's like, but I'm a guy. Like, yes, wrestlers are athletes, absolutely. But like, I've never been like a super athletic guy.
Yeah. He's like, oh no, these people think I'm a legitimate athlete. I'm just an average guy. That's literally, they're like, your reaction time is that of an average person.
And like maybe a little bit better, but it's below what they would think for someone in like that they normally test.
Because
they
really
normally only test like impact testing for like NFL. And he's like, I have the brain of a college football player. Like, that's not terrible.
Right.
And so now it's like, holy crap. Like, if this is all true,
he could wrestle.
It's, yeah. And that kind of gives, you know, a little bit more like understanding to what like Brie Bella was saying on that interview that we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like Kevin Huntsberger on that My 1-2-3 Cents, like he made a really good, like he wrote a really good post we had that discussion.
Always does well.
Like, and so it's just one of those things, like, yeah, you know, it's like we kind of convinced him that like, no, Daniel Bryan should never wrestle again. And now this interview happens and you're like, holy crap, should Daniel Bryan be allowed to wrestle again? Because like this is all.
And it's also very important to note in that same podcast, he was like, no, if there was no reason, like if there was a specific thing that said, no, you cannot wrestle. He even says, like, I want to have a conversation with my daughter when I get older. It's not worth that to me. But if I could wrestle 150 matches a year, I would be fine.
Which he said that and I was like, 100 matches, like Sami Zayn just hit 100 matches. And that's like a big deal. Cause like WWE wrestlers wrestle a whole lot, but like Dean Ambrose and Sami Zayn are like a handful of people who have wrestled that much in a single year. Yeah. So yeah, it's nuts. It's a great podcast in general. Like they talk about, you know, their kids and like so go out of your way to listen to it. It's like 2.5 hours long.
If you cut into an hour, you're good.
Yeah. But just
that's the dream.
But hearing Daniel Bryan talk about this like for the first time and so openly is just, it's nuts. And so now it's just this whole like, crap. That's
speaking of releases, we just got this in. Now this is unconfirmed reports. This is from the Cody in group chat. But Cody is generally pretty good on these things.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna throw this out with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. But he said that dirt sheet rumors are floating that Rusev is asked for his release from WWE.
I've heard that. Yeah.
And maybe Lana too, because of backstage argument about how he's been booked. Mm-hmm. There's no proof of this right now. This is all just speculation, but I could honestly see that happening very easily.
I hope not. I mean, like,
I kind of hope so.
Yeah.
Because
he deserves so much better than
Is there any doubt that Rusev would go to GFW and just tear apart?
Or like, even like, I would love to see him in Japan.
Oh yeah. Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Like anywhere. Rusev could go anywhere and do better than he's doing right now. Apparently Orton is also upset with his career, but gets paid so much that
he doesn't care.
Right. Which I can see that. They treat him like a king for the most part.
Apparently Loki is gone from GFW.
Loki gone from GFW, yeah.
Which would be kind of nuts. Like, I get, which apparently that's due to backstage arguments and him being unhappy with his booking. The sky is blue, water is wet with Loki. Yeah.
Never was a Loki fan.
And also kind of neat that if you, if you're in the area, absolutely come to CCW on Saturday night.
You should.
Because that's going to be nuts. But if you are unable to make that, AAA's Triple Mania is actually going to be broadcast for free on Twitch. On Saturday night, which is cool.
Yeah. What I would do is I would go to CCW and then watch that. I lost what I was going
to
say.
So let's just try to find a way to download it off of Twitch or like record.
They may
it
have
Twitch.
A replay up too.
I think they do have a replay like, option.
That I didn't see, but.
Let's talk about CCW. We're going long. We got another 15, 20 minutes. Let's just do it. That is this Saturday. Now, before that, what's that? Okay. Sorry. I thought you were telling me to wrap it up.
Asa was giving me crap. It's fine.
Oh, well, you suck. So you don't suck. I'm sorry. They have the meet and greet with Brandon Barbwire here at Cape Grayman.
Cape Gaming Grounds, for all of your gaming needs, you can meet Brandon Barbwire.
And Jackson Crowley.
Hey! I know
this him. Saturday, from the hours of 2 to 3 in the p.m.
Too spooky for me.
See,
they're also going to have some merchandise here, so make sure you come by. Awesome. We had Austin Lane on last time along with Justin Smart and Nikki Lane.
Yep.
That was a great event. A lot of great CCW fans came out and met them, took some pictures, got some autographs, bought some merch. That was great. Marco crashed the party last time. I've heard rumblings that there could be some party crashing this time. I won't say who. You'll have to call the hotline.
You'll have to show up to find out.
Oh, I was going
to
plug my hotline. I've got a hotline now, by the way.
Go to Jones Big Ass Truck Rental and
/ Jones Good Ass Barbecue.
Did you call 52? Damn it. No one knows it. All right.
No, I knew it.
You should have said it.
I'm sorry.
Allie rejects your bit.
Allie rejects me. So we got the meet and greet. And then after that, of course, is Homecoming 2. This is the 1 year anniversary of the Best of the Best, Austin Lane.
Mm-hmm.
This is his 1 year anniversary because last year he fought Ricochet. I think he's going to outdo himself this time by going up against Hollis Giroux in the first ever ladder match in Cape Championship Wrestling history. If you've seen these two wrestle before, which we have, they have great chemistry. They put on great matches. I cannot wait to see it. We love Hollis. We love Austin. This is I can honestly say this is the match I'm looking forward to the most. As much as I want to say EC3 fight Billy Hills, because I think that's going to be great. As much as I want to see Brandon Barbwire, another old friend of ours, fight Roger Mathis, which is also going to be great. Austin versus Hollis for the title in a ladder match. I can't get over it.
This is going to be crazy.
This is nuts.
This card is, I know we say this every time, but like I might be the most excited for this card.
This is the biggest card for me.
There's 9 matches. We have Mikey versus Marco. Like we have the 6-man tag is going to be awesome.
So Mikey, of course, is from Roscoe Eat Lisa.
Yes.
Rest in peace. He's out on his own. This is his first solo match against Marco, and that is
going to be incredible.
I'm excited to see what Mikey does as a singles competitor.
Me too.
Like, I'm super excited for that.
Because they were great as Roscoe Eat Lisa, but you know. I want to see Mikey solo. I'm on board. Dude's been getting in great shape.
He's been
putting a lot of work in. Looking real jacked.
Looking real jacked, baby.
I'm so excited to see Mikey wrestle on his own. And Marco, of course, we know.
Marco's insane.
Is insane.
They've wrestled before elsewhere. And seeing like certain gifts of stuff, like I'm a little scared.
Yeah.
But in the best way.
Yeah. It's like when you watch a really good horror movie or not Dalton because he's a bit of a wuss. Yeah. But that's fine. So Marco versus Mikey with Sarah versus Nikki.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
I'm super excited for that one.
Sarah,
too.
I expect to come out like a hero, a queen.
Oh, her, like, I'm excited to see her reception. Just because, like,
the reaction, Sarah Summers.
The reaction that she got after she got kicked out of the Pinnacle.
Yeah.
Was so good.
Huge reaction. I hope it carries over.
Yeah.
I hope she comes out to Disturbed. And I hope she takes the nickname The Light because I think she is. And what are the other matches in between there? I know we got JD teaming up with Dexter and Ace versus one of our good friends, Cody Wilson, who we did that fantastic PW Presents with.
Jackson Crowley,
the former Sin, who has been driven insane by Ace Hawkins, Guyliner. and
he dabbed tattoo. He dabbed on the hater one too many times.
Dabbed too many
That's
times,
what happens,
Ace.
That's what happens when you dab on the hater too many times. You gotta be careful with that.
Yeah, kids, you see what happens when you dab? You see what happens?
The last thing
you get a zombie mad at you.
You create monsters, literally. And the incredible tattoo. I don't know if they heard us say that a second ago. That match is gonna be off the chain, too. Happy birthday, by the way, to Dexter Roswell and
Roger Mathis.
Yes, happy birthday to both of them. Roger is, I believe, like 29, 30?
He's scary. He turned more scary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one more year of being scary to make you more scary.
And Dexter turned 13.
Boo!
Congratulations, Dexter.
Was that too close to the mic?
Yes.
That was too close to the mic.
Sorry.
Why would you think it wasn't?
I turned it this way. So.
Did you?
A little bit. I didn't look straight at
Dexter's better than you.
All right. I
wish he was on the show.
God, could you imagine if we had Dexter instead of Dalton?
PWU with Dexter instead.
Oh. Yeah, my
You guys would lose so many listeners.
The dream.
So many listeners.
And, I just lost my webpage. Give me another match.
Billy Hills versus EC3, which we kind of already went over.
I'm super excited for that match. I'm a huge EC3 fan.
That
Triple A Triple Mania is actually, Moose will be wrestling there because that was the TNA or GFW pulled him from our show so we could go down there, but instead now we're getting EC3.
How about
and that's for the grand championship too.
Yes,
like I we don't.
Billy Hills could become the GFW grand champion.
Which yes, please.
We were excited when Brandon fought Matt Hardy.
Yeah,
because that was really cool. this is awesome for Billy.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for Billy that he gets such a high profile match going against such a great competitor. We love EC3.
Yeah.
We've said it before a million times, so I'm really excited about that. How about this one though? Brandon SB Espinoza going against the weirdest man in wrestling who hates Dalton.
Yeah.
Damon Salavino.
Yep.
The Nephilim.
You don't laugh at him for a reason. Yeah.
You want to laugh now, bitch?
What was so funny?
If I was one of the refs, I'd be really upset right now.
I didn't say that, just for the record.
This match is also going to be like just so good. Damone impressed us like from the first day. Did SB.
We were terrified of Damone before he terrified Dalton.
Right?
Yeah.
Before we had reason to be.
Yeah, Damone. I love Damone. I stand by that he's super awkward, but he's so good.
Yeah.
And SB is also awkward in the sense that I will never speak to him in a non-professional setting.
He's not awkward.
He scares me.
He makes people around him feel awkward because he's so intense all the time.
He is. I would love to talk to him. I would love to say, hey. Mm-hmm. And I have. I've shook his hand. I've said, hey, you know, great match. Mm. But yeah, SB is like, he's so intense. I don't want to bother him. Don't want to bother him. And then, we got, this is interesting. Justin the Juice Smart, who this is his third match at CCW, has done great job so far. Mm-hmm. I was kind of wary the first time I saw him. Because he's a new guy. Anytime a new guy comes in, you get that like, oh, who is this guy?
Right.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how good he was. He is really good.
He's really, really good.
If you're a friend of Austin, if you've trained with Austin, of course you're good. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you be? And he's going up against Jason Vaughn. The stipulation for this match is if Justin Smart wins, Jason Vaughn has to be Osby Tomlin, our GM's entourage. If Jason Vaughn wins, Osby is not general manager anymore. And I hear if they need a new general manager, I've got a suggestion for you. Allie. Anyway, I mean that. You'd be a great general manager. We get you a pantsuit. You could look like Sweet D in the episode with the all yellow.
This doesn't work anymore?
No!
Well, no, I thought it ends the bit. I thought that was our bit ends.
Okay, yeah. All right. So that's.
I was trying to help you, Allie.
This is going to be another good match. I really love seeing Justin Smart. I'm a fan of his.
Yeah. They did really well in that, like the handicap match.
Yeah.
They worked together really, really well.
Which you can see that match right now on CCW TV, of course. That debuted tonight. Go back and watch that. That was a great show. This match is going to be off the hook as much as we. All right, so we try not to sugarcoat things here on the show. This is a very honest show. Mm-hmm. This is where when you want the truth. We're not the biggest fans of Jason Vaughn, but we really don't have a reason not to be. He's never done anything to us. He's a good wrestler. I'm excited for this match.
Yeah.
No, I think this match is going to be good. And I can't wait to see who wins the stipulation.
Yeah. Cause either way, it's
interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to be fascinating. And of course, we have the 6-man tag that we talked about. I'm really looking forward to that. I love Cody Wilson, love Jackson Crowley, love Dexter Ace, love everybody in that match. Mm-hmm. Just the biggest talent right there. Billy versus Ethan Carter. And then we've got the tag team championships as the Hustlers go up against Sexy Blasters again. And
I'm
hopefully the ref keeps an eye on that boot this time. Bradley.
I'm curious to see what the LA Hustlers are going to do. I'm more curious to see what Sexy Blasters are going to wear, because Blaster has been debuting like a new helmet every single time, and they've all been just incredible.
Do you think they're going to be wearing matching tights?
I hope
we
not.
We can only hope.
Oh, really? I can't wait to see what Sarge wears to this
and
show.
And then of course, what Sarge is going to pull out to...
That's a good choice of words, Asa.
You're welcome. I said what meant.
I want Sarge to just wrestle in a thong.
He pretty much
That's
was.
Basically
he does. There's just something else on top of it.
A furry thong.
What do you think you've been putting the dollar bills in?
And the bad thing is the last time I did it, I couldn't get his thong. I couldn't move his thong enough. And I'm pretty sure I like stabbed him in his butt. And I think he said, "That's my ass." Damn it, Sarge. And of course, last man standing match between Brandon Barbwire and Mathis.
I think this is the match I'm most excited for. I loved their first match. That one-on-one match, the way it ended, just everything about it, like, Brandon proved that he can... Damn it.
From now on, I'm calling him Brandon Poo.
No.
I've got to do it.
Brandon proved that he can stand up with Mathis, which is...
I don't think
anyone was expecting him to be able to do.
Right.
And just, yeah, like, this is going to be... I don't know. Like this has the potential to be like the most intense, most hard hitting match of the night, and that's saying something because you have people like Billy and Espy on the card.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is my I'm this is my low key. Like, it's my, I need to do something with my hands now because I'm embarrassed.
Would you say this match has the potential to turn into a slobber knocker?
Yeah.
This is slobber knocker potential.
This could be the hardest hitting match in CCW history. And I'm being serious. Like, that is like, the only match that would make me think was another Brandon match, and it was the hardcore match with Lane back, last October.
I don't know. That Austin Lane versus September. Marco match was.
Yeah.
No, brutal.
Like, it was brutal, but like.
But from a striking, like.
But from a striking standpoint, this is going to be the hardest hitting match in CCW history.
Makes me excited to see it. And then, of course, that big main event match we said before, Hollis Giroux, the CCW champion, the shining jewel of the pinnacle, going up against the best of the best, Austin Lane, who is making his 1 year anniversary match up, whatever, this Saturday. And, I am so psyched for this match beyond words. If this were to be my last match I ever saw from CCW, this would be the one to go out on, I think. This is the main event of main events right here. Like, I loved Brandon's run as champion. I really did. Because Brandon was amazing, and I know he'll be back in that hunt sooner than later, deservedly so. But Austin versus Hollis, I can't say enough good things about it. And you cannot miss this match. You cannot miss this show. You need to go to capewrestling.com if you can order tickets still. If not, you're going to have to go to the event or go to Gaming Grounds.
Yep.
We've got tickets here. General admission, $11 a pop.
You can also get a free sticker.
You get a free sticker. You can choose from your colors, black, white, or red. That's all.
That's all you need.
That's the only colors that matter.
And if you slip a Safiwski, we'll give you a PWU sticker.
Are they going to be five?
I don't know.
That seems high.
Trying to make some money.
You're terrible. You're terrible, Don West. Dalton West.
Oh, he wishes he could be Don West.
That is this Saturday at the AC Brazee Arena. Homecoming 2 from CCW. Again, capewrestling.com. If you want to check out the card, go to facebook.com/Cape Championship Wrestling. It's not actually that. Just look up Cape Championship Wrestling on Facebook. I forget what it actually is.
It's capewrestling.com.
It sure is.
Yep.
Shut up. Shut up. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you there on Saturday. I think Dalton may be here too, but Mr. 100 will definitely be here Saturday.
I'll try to be
for
here.
That meet and greet. So, Ace, I don't know if you were coming to that too, or if you had other things you were doing.
I'm going to try to. We have a work meeting that morning that kind of puts a kink in some of the plans I was supposed to work on for Saturday, but.
Gotcha.
I'm going to try to be here.
Allie is working. So unfortunately, you can't meet. Not actually a bear. This
if you
Saturday.
Go to the show, I'll be at the show.
We'll all four be at the show. Yep. But you can, you know what? If you're coming in to see Brandon, you're coming in to see Jackson, you want to see the PW guys, come on and see us too. We'll sign autographs anywhere you want. Anywhere.
I'm all not right. agreeing.
Sure
to
you
that.
Will.
Hey, sure Shannon and I will. If there's two people at the PW group that will.
It's definitely Dalton and Dalton. So, last thing, Asa, make sure you go to Pods. I was going to try to
make
plug
sure
it.
To go to patreon.com/podzilla1985.
You going
to
try it again?
I like how you're angry about it, but you're the one that messes it up all the time.
But yes. I said it right that time.
Yes, patreon.com/podzilla1985. If you'd like to support your favorite wrestling show, that's not. No, I'm not going to make fun of anybody. That's a kid. I'm not going to make fun of him. You could also go to podzilla1985.com. Listen to all the old episodes and find us on facebook.com/podzilla1985. Show us some love. Send us some messages. Let's talk about things. It doesn't even have to be about wrestling. What are you doing lately? What have you been up to? How is your day going? Do you like pizza? Let me know. All right. We're out of here, guys. We'll see you tomorrow for Podzilla After Dark. I hate this fly. If you want to hear me really give it to this fly, tune in tomorrow. He just got Allie right between the eyes. Oh my God.